For the first time in its more than 100-year history, Ohio Farm Bureau's annual meeting was largely held remotely across the state this past week. The yearly face-to-face gathering of members from all around Ohio was prohibited by orders from the Ohio Department of Health, limiting indoor gatherings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, this first-of-its-kind annual meeting allowed members to get involved as much as they choose from the comfort of their own home, physically together with other delegates from their county or while they were working on the farm. We'll share some of the many highlights of this year's annual meeting this hour.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau Studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
What is usually a large gathering each December to celebrate the achievements of the state's largest farm organization took on a different look this year as the 102nd Ohio Farm Bureau annual meeting was held remotely last week. New policies were discussed and voted on, priority issues were set for 2021, and members of Farm Bureau from all over Ohio were recognized for their hard work and dedication to agriculture and their local communities. Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau, addressed members and talked about the challenges of this past year.
2020, of course, brought along a pandemic that nobody could have predicted. And also, of course, the impact that had and the disruption it had on our agriculture industry and our agriculture economy felt, of course, all the way down to the farm. We also saw social unrest this year. We also saw trade disruption, which also impacted our farm economy. And then, of course, a presidential election. If you look at all these things in total, we're used to obstacles on the farm. This was certainly a year of obstacles, but I am so proud of the work that our members did in showing that resiliency to work through these challenges and to have a year that ultimately we saw a number of successes in. We most certainly learned a lot in. So thank you for taking part in the annual meeting this year. First, starting off with the impacts of COVID-19 on our organization. We had to react quick back in March. We were, of course, right in the middle of a county president's trip. So we had all the county presidents together, which actually worked out very well. That way we could talk a lot about what was happening on the front side. We had to move the organization to a spot where we were protecting our employees and protecting the interactions of our members. And I'm very proud of the work that happened very seamlessly and very quick with the organization to adjust to this new world that we've been trying to deal with, right, for the last, really, most of the year.
Sharp also talked about the actions Ohio Farm Bureau took for its members.
The first major action under the COVID disruptions that we were able to take action on was declaring agriculture a critical infrastructure, or something that obviously was very important that needed to keep happening. We needed to keep food production happening in the fields, and we needed to be able to have food flow to the consumer. So that was a big deal, and believe it or not, it wasn't easy. This was something that we've been a part of at the federal level and the state level. We worked very closely with the federal government, Department of Homeland Security in particular, with American Farm Bureau, and then also with our here in Ohio with the governor and his whole team to make sure that ag was declared essential. And that, again, was something that needed to be done. Nobody had done that before, so this was a new level of work, and we were very proud of the work that we were able to do with state government and federal government and rapidly get agriculture declared critical. Cash flow is the next piece. We talked about delaying the filings for taxes, buying more time for farmers to be able to file their taxes, which we were successful at. We also then pushed for additional assistance on cash flow. And out of that came the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, which I know many of our members across the state applied for and received funds. So very successful program from the federal level that we were able to advocate for. Also then CFAP 1 and 2. So both of those programs have also come along, and we advocated to make sure that it wasn't limited, that the CFAP dollars didn't just go to a couple different commodities, that it was spread across the agriculture industry, because we know that the impacts were spread across the entire agriculture industry. So we were also very successful at that, very proud that that was able to be accomplished. And working together with farmers across the country, that was something that Farm Bureau advocated very strong for with the leadership of American Farm Bureau. So a really nice piece of work there by the organization nationally.
Back at the statewide level, county fairs were a big focus in the middle of summer.
And a lot of concern about the fairs, especially on the front side, that we were going to be able to even have any fairs. We advocated very strongly and worked closely with the governor to make sure that they put together a task force that put up guidelines, and we had several members on that task force that created guidelines for county fairs to be able to have an option. If they wanted to have junior fairs, they could have their junior fair following those guidance. And as we know, many of them did across the state. We work closely with the state, with the county fair managers groups, also 4-H, Extension, Ohio State, FFA, and others, to make sure that those opportunities were still there for young people across the state here this past summer. And as we know, we have many successful fairs across the state despite all the challenges. Another important piece of our work was securing funds to replenish the Commodity Credit Corporation at USDA. A lot of folks don't know too much about the CCC, but the CCC, we advocated for $14 billion to be put back into the CCC and replenish that fund. That fund then protects things like the dairy margin program. It puts money back into that dairy program, for example, also conservation programs, also the market facilitation program, price loss coverage. Many of those farm programs that provide assistance to farmers are replenished and paid for through the CCC. So that money got drained early on, and we advocated to replenish that dollars and were successful at being able to do that. It's a big deal.
And at the community level, Ohio Farm Bureau made sure our neighbors had food on the table.
Something that was important both to the county farm bureaus this year, as well as statewide and even nationally, was we worked closely with USDA to provide food assistance. And in fact, there were $3 billion worth of produce, meat, dairy products that were purchased and then made available through local food pantries and food banks. So we appreciate the work that happened at the federal level and at the state level on this issue that many of you took part in, but also at the county level. County Farm Bureaus worked across the state to make sure that food was provided locally through these different food assistance programs to people in their communities. It was very helpful. It's also a big deal in a time like this where we knew people were struggling and there was a lot of questions about food security and also food availability.
That's Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau, during his address at the 102nd annual meeting held remotely last week. Of course, he talked about all the issues COVID brought in 2020, but there were many issues agriculture had to face that were non-COVID related as well.
The first one was H2 Ohio. This is, of course, the water quality program that the governor, that the legislature put in place, that we advocated for. And in fact, through our Healthy Water Ohio program a number of years ago, helped build a roadmap that they did use. So this program, of course, launched this year. Early on, we had 2,000 farmers in the northwestern part of the state sign up for that program. It was focused just in the northwest part of the state this year. Of course, COVID came along and disrupted the funding mechanism there. But ultimately this summer, we were still able to work with the state and get $50 million in contracts out to farmers to do good water quality work in the northwestern part of the state to help Lake Erie and to help those watersheds. So thank you to many of you who I know are taking part in that program.
He also covered one of the hot topics of 2019 that was resolved this past year, the Lake Erie Bill of Rights.
Or LIBOR, as it became affectionately known. This was an action taken in the city of Toledo. It was a ballot measure that passed that gave the citizens of Toledo the ability to file lawsuits against farmers and businesses on behalf of the lake across the Lake Erie watershed. This was very troubling for us, for farmers, and we were very appreciative to see one of our terrific members, Mark Dravis, and his family stand up and file a lawsuit to challenge the legal ability of the city to do this and for that action to be taken. That was a terrific action that happened literally the day after the ballot measure took place and it was passed. 1 year later, back in February, the district federal court judge ruled in favor of Mark Dravis and his family, striking down the LIBOR action. So a terrific win for farmers, because we do know that while they're trying some legal actions up there that really did not make sense and were not going to help the lake, we know that actions like H2 Ohio and other things and many conservation practices that farmers are doing in the watershed are the real solution to help the lake.
Another major issue in the agriculture space across Ohio and the country over the past few years has been mental health. Sharp addressed that as well.
Farmer mental health was a big deal this past year and has been for our organization for many years. But as we've seen market volatility, we've seen other challenges in the agriculture industry. It was something we focused on this year a lot. It was something Yvonne Lasisco really took to heart. It was a big part of the work that she was doing for us. We worked closely with the Ohio Department of Agriculture to make sure that we had resources compiled with them and available through them. Also at the Ohio State University to make sure we had a number of resources available to our members about farmer mental health. We trained our staff to be able to have conversations with farmers about how they're doing and be able to talk about things. And then we also worked with the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services to train their staff so if they get phone calls from people who are involved in agriculture and farming, that they knew how to have a conversation with folks that are in our line of work. All those services together provided a lot of different information out there, and we were going to continue to do this, of course, because it's a very important part of our community is caring about each other.
Sharp concluded his address at this year's annual meeting this past week by making sure members knew there was a place for everybody in Ohio agriculture at Ohio Farm Bureau.
Something that was important to me when I first came into this job was looking at the vision and future of our organization and the diversity of our organization. We talk about diversity in agriculture. It's both small farms and large farms and everybody in between. It's making sure that we have young people involved and definitely mature folks who can give counsel and guidance to our younger members and mentor them. These are important parts of who we are, making sure that there's a growing number of women in our industry, and certainly in Ohio, what we've seen through the census is a growing number of women who own their own farms. So we appreciate these kinds of diversity in agriculture and growing that. It's important for our organization. We talk about all the traditional programs that we offer, but also non-traditional. We talk about Explore Ag. We talk about AgriPower. We talk about all the scholarships that we give. When we look at things like the Young Ag Professionals Program, all these programs are very, very important to the future of our organization. It attracts young people into our organization. Many of those are coming through 4-H or FFA, and they're exposed to our industry. They know about food and agriculture and careers. But also, we work very hard to make sure we're attracting folks who I call non-traditional. They're people who don't come up through 4-H or FFA. They don't know that they could be part of this organization. They don't know that they could have a career in our industry. So those programs like Explore Ag is a great example, and many others that we do that help attract young people into our industry, into the food community, who may not otherwise know that they have an opportunity. So thank you to all those of you who've been part of those programs this past year and helping to grow those efforts. They are important for who we are now and where we're headed in the future. Thank you for being a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau and also for being active in your county farm bureau. It's your voice that's kept us strong through this year of all kinds of challenges. We also look forward to next year, where we can be back together again, both in our county farm bureaus and our meetings all across the state, and also at our annual meeting. This last year is not a new normal. I'm looking forward to next year, where we can be face-to-face again, because these meetings are absolutely a critical part of who we are, and I look forward to seeing you all face-to-face in the very near future.
That's Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau. Last week during the organization's annual meeting, some very important people were recognized for their contribution to Ohio Farm Bureau and Ohio agriculture. Longtime Ohio Farm Bureau and Nationwide board member Tim Corcoran and Ohio Farm Bureau Vice President of Public Policy Yvonne Lasisco were both honored with Ohio Farm Bureau's Distinguished Service Awards, while Becky Cropper was honored with Ohio Farm Bureau's Cooperative Agriculture Educator Award. Corcoran's from Ross County. He was a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau Board of Trustees starting in 1994. He also served as treasurer and first vice president. He joined the Nationwide Board of Directors in 2001 and served as board chairman beginning in 2014 and retired as chairman of the board this year. Yvonne Lasisco was honored posthumously with an award she might have received upon her retirement after what should have been a long and distinguished career. But fate had other plans when she passed away unexpectedly in June. She packed a career worth of accomplishments in her 11 years with Ohio Farm Bureau, reforming CAUV, passing agritourism legislation, and navigating the Lake Erie Bill of Rights legal complexities are just a few of the issues she was involved in and led the charge to address. Becky Cropper grew up on a small crop and livestock farm in Marion County and became a 4-H educator in Brown County in 1978. Though Cropper retired from OSU Extension in 2012, she's been employed through the Brown County Educational Service Center as the 40 Developmental Access Coordinator for the past 8 years. We'll hear from Farm Bureau President Frank Burkett after this as our Ohio Weekly continues.
Are you a small business owner supporting agriculture such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, and a variety of plans designed to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org. OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org.
Here in Ohio, we grow possibilities. By investing in the Soybean Checkoff, farmers can concentrate on running their operations, while the Ohio Soybean Council creates new opportunities for future generations. The Soybean Checkoff works to get new soy-based products on the market, builds relationships with international buyers, and partners with researchers to increase yield and on-farm profitability. Learn more at soyohio.org/herewegrow. This message brought to you by Ohio Soybean Farmers and their checkoff.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Stick around. Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues following these messages.
You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, recapping last week's 2020 Ohio Farm Bureau remote annual meeting. The week started with a celebration of members and ended with a policy session where we set plans for important policies for 2021 and beyond. But it was also a chance to look back at the accomplishments of 2020 and the challenges that came along with the last year as well. That's what President Frank Burkett addressed to members via video earlier this week.
As our surveys have indicated, and as many of you feel across the countryside, this year has brought unprecedented financial challenges to our members. As you look to those challenges, we look to the ways in which Farm Bureau has advocated on behalf of our members. Whether it's programs like the Small Business Administration's Paycheck Protection Program, or the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program 1, or Part 2, these programs have been vitally important for the members and the continuation of their businesses. While we want to recognize those that have contributed to those programs and helped them to help us remain viable, we also want to recognize that these programs are not sustainable. Farmers want to receive their money from the marketplace, not from government programs. As we look to the future, we will continue to advocate for programs that emphasize risk management and market development on behalf of our members. These programs will lead our members to an area where they're dependent on the marketplace and not dependent on programs that aren't sustainable for the long term. In addition to the severe financial challenges we have this year, our rural countrysides are also seeing increasing stress. We look to the partnerships with the Ohio Department of Agriculture and the Ohio State University to lead in areas that help us address mental health on the farm and in our rural communities. The simple message: you are more than your farm. If you're feeling financial stress or stress of any kind, we encourage you to reach out to friends, family, or outside support structures to help you through these trying times. Part of ensuring our health, both mentally and physically, is dependent on our access to local health care providers. In light of the pandemic, the critical need for broadband across rural communities in Ohio has been emphasized. Whether it's telehealth, working from home, schooling remotely, rural broadband is critical for our membership. You'll see several policies as we move into the business session of our meeting later this week, focused around rural broadband access and importance to our members. In order to be competitive, not only globally, but here at home, we need equal access that our urban counterparts have on the broadband front. Thank you for joining me in advocating for these services. Challenging times are always easier with great relationships and great partnerships. Nationwide has been our partner since 1926, delivering financial and risk management products to meet and exceed the needs of our members. Please join me in thanking Nationwide for our continued partnership that's not only served our members for the last nearly 100 years, but will continue to serve our members in the future. Also, thanks go out to The Ohio State University and the College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Sciences, working through extension and research, and of course, with the students. Thank you to all those fantastic partners at The Ohio State University. Our commodity partners are also invaluable. Whether we are talking about Ohio corn and wheat, Ohio soybean, cattle, pork, dairy, and the Ohio Agribusiness Association, we appreciate all of those different relationships. You have all been terrific partners. Together, we have worked through so many of these different challenging issues through COVID and other big issues impacting our industry to make sure that the Ohio agricultural community has not only been preserved, but also to make sure that our good works continue through this crisis. COVID-19 sure dealt our farmers its share of challenges, but with those challenges also came opportunities. Opportunities to show agriculture our value. Opportunities to help our neighbors in need. And opportunities to continue to do what we love, to work the land, to care for the animals, and to keep farming, while the rest of the world seemed to stop in its tracks. After 2020, those not involved in agriculture learned just how essential farms are. Those in need of assistance found that Ohio Farm Bureau was always there, ready to help. I had the opportunity to see across the state of Ohio, our county farm bureaus rise to the occasion. Whether it was the donation of their energy, their time, pork, beef, milk, to help neighbors and communities that had fallen on times that they had never seen or imagined in their entire life. I'm proud. I'm proud of our county farm bureaus. I'm proud of our Ohio Farm Bureau. And I'm proud of our American Farm Bureau. We can do collectively what we can never accomplish individually. And our members continue to rise to the occasion, time after time, pandemic after natural disaster. It's unbelievable to be able to witness it in person. Thank you for the honor to serve. And on behalf of the Board of Trustees and staff, thank you for being a Farm Bureau member.
Frank Burkett, president of Ohio's largest farm organization, Ohio Farm Bureau, addressing members this past week at the 102nd Ohio Farm Bureau annual meeting. Our Ohio Weekly continues after this. This is Our Ohio Weekly. I'm your host, Ty Higgins. Roots obviously play an important role in ag, but what about your own family roots? How deep does farming run in your past? Today's story on To the Beat of Agriculture is all about discovering the past and sustaining the future.
So my name is Peggy Whitcomb. I live in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. I'm originally from the D.C. area and moved to Northeast Ohio about 20 years ago. But I'm also the Ohio ambassador to the National Society Descendants of American Farmers. Well, personally, my ancestor, John McMullen, he came here in 1740 from Ireland, and he farmed in Virginia and then received a land grant for fighting in the Revolutionary War, and he moved to Georgia with that land grant. So he was a farmer from the time he came here until he passed away in the 1800s, and that farm is still an active working farm in Georgia. In my case, I belong to several other lineage societies, and I had wanted to join the society called Ancient Planters, and because I knew that my family, not only in my McMullen line, but in my other lines, were planters in the southern states. And but I couldn't prove that that ancestor owned like 1,000 acres of land. But when I saw the National Descendants, Society of Descendants of American Farmers, I was like, oh, this is it. I can prove this. I can prove they were farmers because census record says farmer, you know, farm laborer. So it was really easy to prove. NSCOAF, National Society Descendants of American Farmers, was founded in 2019 by Janice Rigel and Davina Lightman to honor farmer ancestors. There are a lot of lineage societies, but there weren't any to really honor farmers. And they wanted to make sure that our ancestor farmers were honored for all they've done for our country. And we also honor current farmers and future farmers. In honoring our ancestors, individuals can become members of the organization. They'll have help with their genealogy. We, on our website, we list all of our farmer ancestors. We actually have pictures. A lot of our members have sent pictures of their great-grandparents. Like in my case, I had pictures of my third great-grandparents. For present farmers, we will do research on their farm, and we'll go out and award them a farmer recognition. In Ohio, so far, we've recognized 5 farms. The Wenzinger Farm in New Bavaria, County Line Farm in Wadsworth, the Rose Ridge Robertson Farm in Waynesburg, and that farm has been actively a working farm since 1820. And Deanna McMakin, who is the current farmer there, is, I think, a great-great-granddaughter of the original farmer, and she's fifth generation farming that land. And we've also recognized Maplewood Farm in Hamilton, and there's a farm called the Bledsoe Farm that is no longer active, but one of the folks in Ohio asked to have like a memorial type recognition done for that farm. So we'll continue to, like, I'm the Ohio ambassador. I reach out to like the Department of Agriculture, to the Farm Bureau, to different farmers markets organizations in each county. We reach out to genealogy societies and historical societies to let them know that this organization is here and what we're doing. We also provide scholarships to future farmers. So if someone's enrolled in an agriculture program, like Ohio State has one, those folks have the opportunity to apply for a scholarship. And so far, we've given out scholarships totaling about $26,000, and that's since March 10th of 2019. So our main vision right now is pretty much getting the word out because we're in our infancy. We have almost, I believe, close to 2,000 members, which is a lot in a one-year period. Other societies that I've belonged to, they have many more members, but they've been in existence, you know, since probably early 1900s, late 1800s. And this society is open to men, women, children. So there's nothing to really stop someone, other than not having a farmer ancestor, to join the society and become a member. You know, they also accept donations, and all donations go to the scholarship fund. And I guess I just have to say, too, this is an all-volunteer organization. It's a nonprofit, and everyone is working, you know, for the main goal of getting the information out about the society. So we have it's a national society, so we don't have chapters in each state, but we have members in each state. Our website, it's www.nsdoaf.com, and there's a lot of information there, too, for folks to take a look at. One of the really cool things about this organization is someone might say, well, I don't have any farmers in my family, but you really might, you know, let them help you find them.
That's the voice of Peggy Whitcomb. Learn more about the National Society Descendants of American Farmers at nsdoaf.org. From the Ohio Farm Bureau, I'm Ty Higgins. Back after this.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
For many, the COVID-19 crisis made it feel like the world stopped. But for Ohio Farm Bureau and our members, the work never did. As you spend early mornings in the barn and late nights in the field, Ohio Farm Bureau continues to be at the forefront, advocating and educating to help our members navigate through these challenges. Ohio's resilient agriculture community will get through this with the strength of the state's largest farm organization. Get updates and become a member at ofbf.org/stillfarming. Ohio Farm Bureau, together with farmers.
Ohio Farm Bureau is proud to announce its new partnership with the Ford Motor Company, and it's good news for Farm Bureau members. Members get $500 in bonus cash on eligible new Ford cars and trucks, or $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. Not a member? Well, join now, and in 30 days, you're eligible. For complete information on program details, visit ofbf.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there, 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues after this.
You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. Last week, we told you about a farmer and landowner appreciation dinner that won the American Farm Bureau Federation County Activities of Excellence Award. Well, we had multiple counties across the state win this award from the national level, including Scioto County. They recently put together a Conservation School is Cool event. Kim Harless joins us. She's the organization director for Scioto County Farm Bureau. How you doing, Kim?
Hey, Ty. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. Thank you. And, you know, I'd love sharing what happens at the community level, because what we do at Farm Bureau there in our home counties is just terrific. And to be recognized from the American Farm Bureau is just icing on the cake. Can you tell us about this event and how it came to be?
Sure. So, you know, we always brainstorm at our county programming and our reorganization meetings. And one of my amazing board members said, hey, I think there's a need for all kinds of different educational tools that people in town and people out can use. So the first year we did it, of course, this was our second year that we did it, we decided to throw out like beekeeping and just some different gardening, different things that farmers could use as well as people that live in town. So we partnered with Soil and Water in Scioto County. We also grabbed a hold of OSU Extension and our FFA kids, and we just kind of said, hey, let's do this and see how it goes. So our first year, we had 125 people that said, yes, we have a need, we are interested. And what they did is they came together for one evening in February. We picked a winter time because we figure people will be in the house and needing something to do, and we made it family friendly so they could bring their kids. So with that number, we had 125 come the first year, and probably about maybe 15 kids. And so we decided after that first year, we thought, well, there is a need. So we decided the next year, when you do something the first year, you always improve on it the second year. So our numbers jump from 125 to 165 with about 30 kids. And what I mean by making it a family event is we kids programmed, like our local hospital came in and did activities. Our FFA kids did hands-on activities with the kids while the parents were in their sessions learning. So we had 6 sessions they could pick from, and they got 2 that evening. So a husband and wife would come and split up so they could cover 4, which made it very nice. And then we went a step further and we decided, gosh, if they come to this stuff, they need the basics to get them started. So, for example, like with beekeeping, we gave away a beginning hive kit, one of the veils that you take, and a tool, gloves and a feeder, books on how to. So with each category, we had at least 5 to 6 nice prizes that totaled up to be a good substantial amount and something they could actually take back and use to get them started in the category that they went into.
It was so diverse as far as the topic matters that you covered, and it really shows the diversity of Ohio agriculture. Talking about, you mentioned beekeeping, maple syrup production, raising mushrooms, organic gardening, all included in this great conservation school is cool event in Scioto County. Are there plans to have a third annual event?
Well, it's funny you say that because we just talked with Soil and Water the other day, and we talked about virtual, but we honestly feel like this is something that really needs to be face-to-face and hands-on where they can ask questions and get down into the nitty-gritty of it. So we have decided that we're going to skip this year because of COVID, and we are going to come back the next year bigger and better. So, yes, we are planning a third one, but it will unfortunately not be in 2021. But we are definitely going to work toward 2022.
Such a great event. So great, in fact, it was recognized by the American Farm Bureau Federation. You received a County Activities of Excellence Award, and that's going to give you a grant to fund participation in Farm Bureau's CAE Showcase at the virtual 2021 American Farm Bureau Annual Convention. Talk about being recognized at the national level and what that means to Scioto County Farm Bureau.
Oh, Scioto County, you know, I have my 4 counties, and all of my other counties have won at least 1 or 2 awards. So this is Scioto County's very first one. And it's not because they don't do great programs. Honestly, it's just our competition is so hard, you know, just among Ohio counties alone, let alone throughout the nation. So Scioto is so excited. I have 4 people that have already registered to do the virtual, and then they're going to be heading to Atlanta in 2022 to do a face-to-face with people. I think it's just so important for these people to understand our volunteers work so hard and they do so many things and they do it for free. So this is a reward to them, not only to the county, but to those volunteers that actually help put this on too.
Kim Harless is Organization Director for Scioto County Farm Bureau. Congratulations again, and thanks for the great insights into this wonderful event.
Oh, thank you, Ty. I appreciate it.
A recently released survey conducted by the American Farm Bureau suggests that the majority of Americans believe farmers are feeding the world in a sustainable way. Sustainability, of course, an important topic to many Americans in 2020. And this survey shows a majority of adults across demographic groups trust farmers across the country. We'll find out more about this survey and the results from it from AFBF Chief Economist Dr. John Newton, coming up after this as Our Ohio Weekly continues. We often hear about farm succession planning and immediately think of wills and trusts, but using business entities in your succession plan is equally important. Robert Moore is an attorney with Wright & Moore, and Robert, what are some of the key things to keep in mind when making business entities a part of the overall succession plan?
Well, we often think about business entities, particularly LLCs, as a way to manage liability, and they do a good job of that, but when we do farm succession planning, we find entities to be very valuable. And one of the really important things the LLCs do is help us protect family farmland. Let's say that mom and dad have the estate plan where all the farmland goes to son and daughter. It just goes to them outright in their names. The risk there is that Ohio has what's called partition, that either owner can force the sale of the land as long as their name's on the deed. So just having what we call co-tenancy, co-ownership of the land, puts that land at risk.
you need to consider starting the next generation into ownership of the farming operation as well.
It's always important to do that, but business entities also make that an easier transaction. So when you bring the next generation into the farming operation, when you say, well, you buy half the corn planter and I'll trade the tractor in, and you know, it gets a little messy on that end. So what we prefer to do is put the farming operation in an LLC, and then you can transition ownership by saying, okay, I'm going to give you 10% this year. I'm going to give you 10% next year. We can transfer ownership in that farm operation and make it completely private. So LLCs make that transition of ownership much easier.
Robert Moore is an attorney with Wright & Moore. They focus their efforts on providing legal counsel to farmers and landowners in Ohio. Visit them online at ohiofarmlaw.com. That's ohiofarmlaw.com. More Our Ohio Weekly after this.
Are you a small business owner supporting and involved with agriculture such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Then search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, fixed monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest-working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
More of Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins next.
Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. According to a new survey, a majority of U.S. adults have a positive view of farmers' sustainability practices, and an overwhelming majority trust farmers. That survey was put on by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Their chief economist, Dr. John Newton, joins us. Dr. Newton, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us more about this survey and some of the findings.
Well, like you said, more than half of the adults, approximately 58%, rate the sustainability practices of farmers positively. There's broad agreement from those that we surveyed that a majority of adults across demographic groups, and matter of fact, 9 in 10 adults, 88% trust farmers.
The survey also explored public attitudes about the environmental sustainability achievements of farmers, as well as future direction to advance climate-smart farming. And Dr. Newton, overall, the public agrees farmers shouldn't be expected to bear the financial burden alone.
Well, we've long been talking about environmental sustainability and economic sustainability in the same sentence. And when we surveyed adults, I think 4 in 5 say environmental sustainability and economic sustainability are both very important for farmers. So it's good to see that the public understands that we have to have economic sustainability to achieve our climate smart goals.
Got into some environmental questions as well. And it looks like, according to the survey, there's some work to be done on our end as far as just increasing awareness.
You know, I think there is, I think 4 to 5 adults, understand the importance of feeding the world, and they understand the importance of farmers passing on to future generations. But when you think about sustainability goals, I think, about 70% recognize that We need to create the proper government incentives to help farmers adopt more climate smart practices to further protect the soil, air, and water.
Was this the first of its kind survey, or are there other similar surveys that we can compare and find out how far we've come?
Well, we did do a survey back in June of 2020, a very similar survey on the public's perspective of farmers and public's trust in farmers. And what we found here is we saw a 4% increase from that June survey in terms of the percentage of adults that trust farmers. There's a high level of trust in farmers. I think COVID-19 made people understand and trust farmers even more, the importance of where their food comes from, and having an abundant and affordable food supply is critically important in times like these.
The survey also found, Dr. Newton, that at a time when some corporations are making sustainability commitments that include or impact agricultural production, a bipartisan majority of adults, 62%, say corporations should compensate farmers for the additional cost of implementing environmental practices to help achieve sustainability goals. Were you surprised? Because you and I hear an awful lot about what farmers might be doing wrong on the farm by those who maybe have never stepped foot on a farm across the country. These are pretty positive numbers, and it shows that people understand that they may not know what happens on the farm, but it's something that is very challenging for those involved.
Well, I think, you know, most adults recognize that we need to create the right economic incentives for farmers to continue to adopt these climate smart practices. They believe that the government has a role in helping to facilitate this, but 4 in 5 adults were unable to correctly identify agriculture's contribution to greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. Half of adults correctly ranked agriculture as the smallest contributor, but that tells me we've got to do a better job of telling our story, how we're protecting the air, soil, and water.
Now, for those in agriculture, these were some really good numbers that shows that we have the public's trust and that we're doing the right things, and we continue to get better at what we do day in and day out. How will numbers like these be used, let's say, as far as maybe not setting policy, but setting some goals for policy in the years to come with the new administration?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that President-elect Biden and his team want to focus on domestic issues, and including you know, increasing the adoption of climate smart practices across the broader U.S. economy. What we see from this survey, importantly, is that, you know, most adults agree that the government has a role in providing the right economic incentives to get farmers to further increase their adoption of these practices. This is a public good: cleaner air, cleaner water, cleaner soils. And it's something that, as a public good, the government does have a role in stepping up and providing those economic incentives.
You can find out more about this survey online at fb.org. That's FB for FarmBureau.org. Dr. John Newton, American Farm Bureau Chief Economist, really appreciate the insights. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Ty.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. And produced by Ohio Farm Bureau. Working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/OurOhioWeekly.
Wrapping up what was a great week for Ohio Farm Bureau members, a celebration of our 2020 accomplishments. If you missed any of the annual meeting, you can watch it now at ofbf.org/AM2020. We'll see you down the road.